about Jesus. Today we are going to another prophetic aspect of the sermon. And so if you have the Bible, please turn with me to first the book of Genesis, and then after that we go to the book of Revelation. So the first portion of the scripture reading is taken from Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Very short verse, just one verse. And then after that, we go to chapter 3. All right, are you there? Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. All right, verse 15 says that, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" And then the next is taken from the next chapter, 3 verse 1 to verse 8, please. Chapter 3 verse 1 to verse 8. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made, and he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden, of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and made themselves covering. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Then we turn to the very last book, the book of Revelation, chapter 3, chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 9, please. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to verse 9. Now this is during the middle of the great tribulation, and in the middle of the tribulation, verse 7 comes in and says, "And the war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragons and the angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And so the dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And then the next chapter, 13, reading from 14 to verse 15. "And he," meaning the devil, "deceived those who dwell on the earth." "And he," meaning the false prophet, "deceived those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast." And then the beast here refers to the Antichrist, who was wounded by the sword and lived. "And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." All right, so I read verse 15 again. "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." That ends the reading. Let's pray. Father, come to you in Jesus' name. Father, there are many things that are happening in the world that we should be aware of, that we should be alert and watchful. And so I pray, Father, as I deliver your word, you anoint your servant to speak your word with clarity and with your anointing, because without the anointing, I'm speaking in vain. And Lord, I pray, Father, as I speak, Father, the people will understand, the people have the revelation of what is happening, Lord, in the world, and they will be alert. And so I pray, Father, you anoint the ears of the people and the hearts, Lord, to be receptive to what you have to say, and so that, Lord, none of us will be deceived, Father, by the things that's happening in the world, because, Lord, your coming, Lord, is near, and therefore, Lord, we need to watch and pray. And I ask, Father, Lord, that every one of us, Lord, will be prepared for your second coming. And so, Lord, I pray that your anointing of the Holy Spirit will be upon this place. Lord, we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and to glorify the Father and the Son in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Now, in my the last sermon, if you're aware, I've started a new topic pertaining to AI, which is called artificial intelligence. And today I'm going to part two on the same topic. And the title of my sermon is AI, that means artificial intelligence, the eventual great deception. AI, the eventual great deception. In my last sermon, I've raised the questions asking whether AI is being prophesied in the Bible. And in that sermon, I've established that indeed AI is actually prophesied in the Bible. And one of them is taken from Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, where it says that in the last day, verse 4 says that many shall run to and fro and the knowledge shall increase. That means there's going to be a knowledge explosion in the very last days. And we can see a knowledge explosion taking place in the arena of artificial intelligence. And so in my last sermon, I also mentioned that in time to come, there will be a great proliferation of human robots that will collaborate and actually interact with humans in many arenas of our life. And this actually prophecy is mentioned in Daniel chapter 2 verse 43, and it says that they, meaning the AI humanoid robots, will mingle with the seed of men, meaning mankind, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And so today we will see how the advances in AI humanoid will actually potentially fulfill other Bible prophecy. Now, in the video clips that we watched last time, you can already see that humanoid robots looks quite real compared to the human beings, and is very realistic. In time to come, I can assure you that future humanoids will actually look so real as human beings that it will become almost indistinguishable. Though AI may bring many benefits to humanity, but there's something sinister that mankind will fall into inevitably after reaping its many benefits. And so the first statement I'm going to make is the current world and the fervent pursuit of AI actually has an uncanny similarity to the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Now, in many ways, it is a revisit of the tragic story in the Garden of Eden. If you can remember, in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to verse 17, it says that of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, because for the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. However, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5, the cunning devil, the enemy of God, came along and said this to Eve. He said, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the days that you eat of the fruits," he said, "your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so Eve was deceived. And in verse 5, it says that, "And the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and she ate it, and she also gave it to the husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig trees together and make themselves covering." And so in this passage, the devil spoke through the snake and sweet talk Eve into believing that if they partake of the tree of knowledge, they can be God-like. And so the devil also insinuated, of course, that God wanted to deprive them of the God-like ability and hence forbid them to take the fruit. And so the tree actually indeed looked very attractive to the eyes. However, after Adam and Eve partook of the fruit of knowledge, they came to realize that they had been conned big time by the devil. And so they soon discovered the curse and the catastrophic tragedy it brings to themselves and to the whole of humanity, and then it ripples through every generation. And so a toxic and a deadly substance called sin actually entered or infiltrated humanity. Disease, death, evil, suffering, violence, curses, perversion, bondages, sorrow, futility, etc. enter humanity that wreaked havoc for all generations to come. And so the pursuit of AI is actually a replay of the story in the Garden of Eden in many ways. The external form may be different, but the substance behind it is similar. Now let me explain. In the original Garden of Eden, it was full of lush greenery and tasty fruit. But this time, the garden is full of silicon circuit and computer binary codes. Our contemporary Eden is swarmed with technological marvels. Just as in Eden, the same cunning serpent is tempting us in this garden of electronics, computers, and silicon. And AI presents humanity with a luring and a sparkling fruit of knowledge, like the fruit of good and evil, to lure Adam and Eve at Eden. And the fruit of AI knowledge promises to give human unprecedented access to knowledge. And it claims that AI knowledge can remove all our tedious and mundane activities, freeing us and giving us more time for enjoyment and to perform creative activity. And so AI tempts humanity, saying that science will give us all the answers that we are looking for in life and help us to solve all our problems with the push of a button. And it promises that AI technology will actually drive us into a new bright future. And humanity will be bigger, will be brighter and stronger and far more powerful. And many scientists actually are deluded to think that if humans pursue AI knowledge fervently, they can become super intelligent like God. This is similar to what the devil told Adam and Eve, that they will be like God if they partake of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, at this juncture, it is important for me to clarify about what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is all about. Now, God created mankind for a love relationship, likened unto a family relationship. And man need to relate to God as his Father and the Almighty God in loving obedience and allegiance. Now, love cannot be a robotic or first forced upon. It must be exercised out of free will. And so God gave Adam and Eve a choice to make with regards to the fruit of knowledge. They can either love and submit to God's rule or otherwise. And so it is actually a test of loving obedience to God or otherwise. If Adam and Eve choose to partake of that forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, it is a declaration of severing their allegiance to God. It means that they want the knowledge of good and evil to exercise self-rule. And so this rebellious act will open themselves into the entry of sin and death from the satanic kingdom of darkness and suffer all the tragic and the evil consequences. And so the cunning Satan was determined to break up the relationship between man and God. And so he deceived Adam and Eve into thinking that they can be God-like by partaking this knowledge, this fruit of knowledge of good and evil. So sadly, Adam and Eve took the fruit and fell into the big deception. And it was an act of treason, a declaration of severing their allegiance to God, an act of independence from God, self-rule to be God to themselves. So having told this story, I'll need to explain what are really the main issues behind gaining knowledge. Number one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not evil per se. There was nothing wicked about the tree or the fruit of knowledge. To claim this would actually imply that God created something evil, which contradicts what Genesis 1 says, because it says that everything that God created was either good or very good. Number two, it was actually the act of obedience, disobedience, that is sinful, that opened the floodgate of sin, evil, and death from the satanic kingdom to infiltrate humanity. And so the second thing to note is, or the third thing to note is, God is not against Adam and Eve gaining knowledge. God's plan was actually to nurture Adam and Eve towards maturity progressively, to gain this knowledge and wisdom over time. Now, for example, in our society, we do not allow people to handle or do certain things because of age. So before certain age, they are not allowed to do or handle certain things because they have not reached a certain level of maturity. Now hence, we do not hand, for example, a dangerous weapon like guns to a young child, because without the maturity and understanding, the child will end up destroying oneself or others. So people under certain age are not allowed to buy certain things or to vote for the same reason. Because becoming mature takes time and it cannot be done overnight. Now the next reason is that God reserves the judgment of good and evil. God is basically saying, you either learn about evil secondhand from me, or you experience it firsthand for yourself, but it will be very painful with serious consequences. So for example, taking illicit drug will destroy you. You either experience firsthand with its pain and consequences, or learn it secondhand through wisdom. What is your preference? So thirdly, Adam and Eve's motive for gaining knowledge is sinister. They wanted to attain God-like ability for self-rule. And so that is fundamentally wrong with their intention and their motive. Now, the current intense pursuit of AI, artificial intelligence, is similar. It is actually a reenactment of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Recent astounding advances in AI technology actually has emboldened many AI scientists. Deluded by pride, many scientists now envision the probability or the possibility of creating a god-like AI system, which is omniscient, that means all-knowing, omnipresent, all-present, and omnipotent, all-powerful. They are trying to build a digital god unto themselves. A god-like AI is the great deception of the last day, coming from Satan himself. Now let us be clear, no mankind nor angels are able to attain God-like essential attributes of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotent. Not even close. Now let me explain why these AI scientists are deluded by the cunning devil again. What some AI scientists envision in God-like AI are actually highly speculative and fictional. And so let me try to explain it to you in simple terms. Why or how the deluded AI scientists think that AI can be godlike. So number one, omniscient. That means having the ability to know everything. The current advances in the AI transformer model actually show very promising results. Now let me explain it in layman terms. To build the intelligence into an AI machine, computer scientists program it to learn actually from all the existing knowledge or sources of knowledge. Now let us suppose that you want the AI machine to be an expert in mathematics. You simply actually input into this AI machine to read from the internet the millions of books, write up articles and data on mathematics. And you just allow your AI program to use the computing power to process, to scan, to analyze, and learn from these millions of input to identify patterns and then formulate logic. And so this is called deep machine learning in AI. And so over time, just like us, the AI machine can grow in their intelligence to become an expert in this area. And so AI scientists are also making attempts to make the AI machine to further self-learn, self-teach, and to innovate so that they can become super intelligent. And so in time to come, this AI machine will then become smarter than all human. Now, I know you maybe it is a bit abstract to you, despite the fact that I'm trying to make it simple. And so let me illustrate with an example. All right, this is a real-life example. Today, modern chess engines are powered by AI, and it can outdo the very best human chess players on earth. And these AI machines are immune to mood swing, fatigue, or psychological pressure. So Google DeepMind AI, called Student of Game, can actually beat the best human player in chess and in other strategy games like the Chinese Wei Qi or the Japanese Go, etc. So AI machines have actually surpassed human players in chess and in other strategy games due to their enormous computing power, highly intelligent algorithm, and the ability to learn from all the vast databases of all the historical games. And so, human competing and winning against the top AI engine in chess is now impossible task. So this is a real example. And this example represents a major milestone towards artificial general intelligence capable of superhuman performance. And so, therefore, if AI has access to immense amount of data on any subject area of learning, be it physics, chemistry, engineering, electronics, material science, law, arts, history, etc., and then apply this deep learning in this massive data coupled with machine self-learning and innovation, they will become super intelligence in all areas. And so in time to come, AI scientists think that they are capable of creating a super intelligent entity in almost all fields of study. Now, mankind and the earth, as we know, in biblical record, is about 6,000 years old. For 6,000 years, we have been the most intelligent entity on planet Earth until now. However, AI computing machine can process hundreds of thousands of times faster than any humans, and they learn non-stop. And because they don't need to eat, they don't need to rest, and they don't need to sleep. So for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, AI can be sitting there processing data, scanning, reading, analyzing, and learning everything they can. So eventually, they think that they will become the most intelligent entity on earth. And that is why many scientists are working towards this scenario, a very, very frightening scenario. So that is how they think AI can be omniscient, all-knowing, a super intelligent entity. And the second area is omnipresence. How is it possible? It means having the ability to be present everywhere. Another attribute of God. Now, currently we have billions of smart devices worldwide. And some are personal and some are public devices. For example, smartphone, security camera, home devices like TV or consumer devices, etc. All these smart devices have sensing and monitoring capabilities. So for example, your smartphone, they are capable of hearing what you say and then locating where you are. And they are scattered all around us. They are with us in our pocket, they are at home, they are in the car, in some public places like working place or shopping mall, schools, public roads, etc. And so if AI computer system become very powerful, it can actually integrate data from the different sources such as the sensor, camera, mobile phones, a home, car, office devices, traffic devices, etc. Now, you can also have a large network of interconnected AI system around the world, and they can communicate and they can interact seamlessly with each other as a unified system. Together with internet connectivity of all the systems and the devices globally, it will enable AI to have a presence in almost all places simultaneously. And so this will give the AI system a network and almost omnipresence level of awareness everywhere. So this is what they envision as AI becoming omnipresence. And then what about the third area, omnipotent? That means having the unparalleled power to control the world. Now, the deluded AI experts speculate that before attaining godlike AI, AI machine will actually attain consciousness like human beings have. And so once AI system attain omniscient and omnipresence capability as outlined earlier, they will become very powerful in terms of control over all the human beings on earth. Now, with a highly interconnected AI digital world, they can control all the financial systems. They can control both the civilian and the military, the critical civilian and military infrastructure. And also, not to forget, in time to come, there will be robotic police and army. And so they can control the robotics, police and army as well. Now, with such power, they can control the economy, the communications network, robotic armed forces, robotic weapons, transformation systems, or transportation system as well, to achieve their objective. So with such unparalleled power, it gives them the ability to direct global events and control the world. Now, in addition, they further think that AI one day will attain cosmic capability. Now, cosmic AI refers to the idea that it reaches a level of intelligence and capability that extends beyond the confines of the earth and human existence. It involves the notion of AI becoming capable of understanding and interacting with the broader universe, potentially on a cosmic scale. Now, though this is purely speculative and fantasy as far as I'm concerned, But my spiritual antenna actually is buzzing an alarm bell. Now, this is a pretext to deceive and to go into the spiritual realm under the guise of science. For example, they say that advanced cosmic AI may have the capability of exploring and colonizing other planets or even traveling to a distant star system. And they may even have the capability to navigate, they say, into the other dimensions and realities that we currently cannot see. And so this AI system would then have the cosmic ability to interact with extraterrestrial environment and extraterrestrial life. More on this in my next sermon. And so it can help them, to bridge the communication gap between humans and extraterrestrial being. Now, there are some other hidden and sinister agenda in AI. The first is what I call transhuman-related experiment. Now, transhumanism is to merge technology with human to transcend current limitation of human intelligence, ability, and capacity. Now, a company called Neuralink, co-founded by Elon Musk, actually conducted an experiment on a monkey, and they named this monkey Pager. This experiment was done in April 2021, just a couple of years ago. Now, this research actually aims to develop a device to actually read your brainwave and interpret it and then send electronic signal to control the external devices. They call it brain-computer interface technology. Now, so the experiment went like this. A coin-sized computer chip called Neuralink was implanted in the brain of a monkey to detect and to stimulate brainwave. Now, initially, the monkey pager was actually trained to play a video game, all right, called Pong, using a joystick to move the cursor. Now, during the experiment, Neuralink actually recorded this brainwave activity while the monkey pager was playing the game using the joystick. And so this data of brain activity actually helped them to calibrate the device to interpret the monkey's pager's intention. And then the joystick was then disconnected. And then the pager brainwave was sent wirelessly via the implanted AI device to play the game. And then it turned out the experiment was a success. They managed to interpret the brainwave of the monkey. And so Neuralink's original intention is actually to build a safe and effective clinical brain-machine interface device that is fully implantable and wireless. And so the original good intention was to assist the people with paralysis or other neurological conditions to regain mobility and independence. But after this experiment had good success, some scientists suggest that if we could link our brain to the internet via AI, then we could learn exponentially at a much faster rate. In other words, if this AI chip could take information from the internet and feed it to our brain, we wouldn't need computers. We would be like walking AI computer. So they even suggested that if our children could be AI computer chip imprinted, they could learn at an exponentially higher rate. That means if your child wasn't chipped, they would be considered subhuman. So this is a real experiment. Right? Next, with a super intelligent transhuman species, they think they can find a cure for all diseases and a drug for anti-aging to define death. And so they are deluded to think that they can conquer death to become immortal. The other delusion and research is on trying to replicate your mind and your intelligence. Because they say you, your life is actually your mind and your intelligence. And so they're trying to replicate the mind and intelligence on the silicon chip to make it independent of organic material. And so they have this deluded hope that your mind, your brain, mindset, can be encoded in the software. And one day, he says, it will be capable of uploaded onto an AI hardware silicon chip. And in that way, they think that you would live forever, immortal. And so all these are actually make-believe deception. Because the transhumanist agenda, an idea of implanting chip in human brains or vice versa, are actually altering the fundamental specifications of human being. And so all this relentless effort to attain immortality and godlike AI is to turn man into godhood. The idea of human being becoming little god is actually very ancient, because it first began in the early pages of the Bible in the story of Adam and Eve. And since then, it is deeply rooted in every culture in the world. Now, Adam and Eve bought into this lie, and they later discovered the big mess they got themselves and the whole humanity into. And so they think that through AI and transhumanism, they can reach the full potential of being God and defy death. They will all fail. Why? Because various old technology have been tried before. Pharaoh tried mummification. Ancient Emperor Shi Huang Ti of China was looking for also immortality and instructed his general to look for a miracle herb, and they couldn't find any. And the scientists today try cryonics, the freezing technology. They also fail. And now they're trying out this using AI technology, believing that they can find a drug for anti-aging and a medicine or a drug to cure all diseases. They will all fail because they all ignore the core problem of sin that is endemic to humanity. A sinful body is always subject to death. This is irreversible. The only way to conquer death is through the atoning death of a sinless man. And Jesus had already shown us the only way to defeat death 2,000 years ago. And that's why he died and he rose again on the third day with a new glorified body to live forever. And he promised those who believe in him will likewise rise from the dead with a new glorified body like his, where there is no disease, no death, no sin, etc. And this new glorified body can move from the physical to the spiritual dimension, and also vice versa. And so with the glorified body, our intellectual capacity and ability will increase significantly. But we can never be like God in omniscience, omnipresence, or omnipotent. That belongs to God. This is what makes God God. Omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotent. So conclusion, after I have done some considerable research on this subject matter, I submit to you the following. While the front-end stages of AI are beneficial to mankind in many areas, the later stages of godlike AI and transhumanism are a great deception. In what way? Because in the very last days, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 to verse 4, it says that a man of lawlessness is going to be revealed, the one who is going to bring destruction, and he, meaning Satan, will sit in the temple of God, claiming himself as God. In Revelation chapter 12 to 13, it further prophesies that Satan and all his cohort will be cast down from heaven unto earth in the last 3.5 years. And in that very last day, Satan will form an unholy and counterfeit trinity physically on earth. Satan himself, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. Now, while much Bible commentary has been said about Antichrist, that is the first beast, and the false prophet, the second beast, little has been written about what form or shape does Satan take in this period. Now, Revelation 13:14 says that the false prophet tells the people on earth to make an image of Antichrist, and this image and statue was then given breath to speak. And this statue caused as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, in short, this verse says that the false prophet actually will make an image and statue which becomes alive and to be worshipped as God. Now, in light of the latest development, I now submit to you that this image and this statue is a super intelligent AI humanoid. This is because all those things that are envisioned by some leading AI scientists are actually a great deception and a setup for Satan to dwell in this super intelligent AI humanoid. So let us see how the attributes of a super intelligent AI humanoid will fit the profile of Satan's ambition. Number one, it will be a super intelligent AI humanoid entity, as I said. And he considered himself to be super intelligent. Number two, a sentient AI humanoid. That means has got self-awareness, as real as human being with look real human feature. And for that, he's able to communicate and interact with people physically. As you saw in the video clip in my last sermon, humanoids are becoming very real and they can interact and communicate with people. And thirdly, a humanoid with a counterfeit godlike attribute, omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. You know, Satan wants to be God. And so he wants to claim that he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And this is as described in the AI technology. Number four, that he's trying to promote ability to communicate with the extraterrestrial being. That means alien from solar system or other galaxy, which I will speak more about UFO an alien in my coming sermon. And then fifthly, he can deceive and get people to see another realm of reality. Now, I believe that is why there is so much enthusiasm in this virtual and augmented reality now being pursued by Metaverse. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook company. You know, this is this. So I believe, and potentially, when you get into that realm, you cannot distinguish whether it's really a virtual or whether you are interacting with the dark spiritual forces. So another deception. And then sixthly, with his human intelligence or his super intelligence, he promises people fake immortality through transhumanism. So another copycat. God offers us the real eternal life. Now he offers us the fake immortality through transhumanism. And then he promised that he will solve all the complex problems of the world. And so for that, he demands all on earth to worship him as God. So I hope that all these latest technological development that you are alert of and where it is leading to, right? I hope that you have been enlightened with this latest prophetic happening, and there are still other subjects like UFO and alien, which I will talk about in other sermon. And I hope that we will not buy into this big deception in the later stages of AI technology. And may the Lord grant us discernment in days to come. Amen. The Lord bless you.